Hey, good morning, everyone. How are the early risers doing? It's a great day. Thank you for getting up early to worship with us. If you happen to be a guest here, maybe you're here for the baptism, a loved one is being baptized. Man, we hope you feel welcome here. My name, this is your first time, my name is Brian Anderson. I'm one of the pastors here at the Vineyard. Before I get into the message out of the Bible today, I need to do a few things. One is, I want to just congratulate all those of you that were water baptized today. Man, way to go. Very cool. It's a great next step in your spiritual development. We do these every other month. And so if you're a follower of Jesus and yet you've not been water baptized, that is one of the commands of Christ, is to be baptized in water as a symbol that you are a new follower in Jesus. And so next time you see it advertised in the bulletin, make sure you take the class on water baptism, and we'll be watching you up on the video screens hopefully very soon. Second thing is, I want to do what I did last week, and I know some of you weren't able to be here. We're honoring all the volunteers here at the Vineyard this month. As you saw on the video screen, we're going to have a picnic, a volunteer appreciation picnic next Sunday. I hope all you volunteers come, but we could not do all the things, nearly all the things that we do as a church, without our faithful volunteers. Some of you volunteer on our outreaches, some of you volunteer in children's ministry, youth ministry, a food bank. Some of you volunteered last Friday night at our family fest. We had thousands of people on campus, a great outreach to our community. So I want to just take a moment and have all those of you that serve, that volunteer in some way here at the Vineyard throughout the year, would you please stand right now? We just want to honor you and thank you. Now make sure you go to the lobby if you don't have one already. There are some wristbands out there that say, I'm a VC volunteer, or a button that says, I'm a VC volunteer, and wear it proudly. Those of you that are not volunteering, if you see them, make sure you thank them, because all the stuff that happens around here would not happen without them. And sort of segueing into that, one of the areas in volunteering that we always have a big need is our children's ministry. You know, we have about 750 children that come here every single weekend that we're teaching, we're holding the babies, we're doing all kinds of stuff. And so if you're not regularly volunteering right now, but you're thinking about that, that would be a great place to start in our children's ministry. We have lots of different areas that you could do, that you could serve in that way. And so we have a table out in the lobby. After the service, if you have an interest in possibly doing that, stop by, talk to somebody, and they can answer all of your questions about that, okay? I'd like us to receive the offering now. So if we could have our ushers please come forward. And as they're coming forward, I want to take this opportunity to thank those of you that give to God financially through our church. I want you to know that you really make a difference. You're making a difference in people's lives. You know, you're helping people with food and clothing. You're helping to disciple people. You're helping to plant churches around the world. You're just really making a difference financially with your money when you give to God through our church. And so I hope that you'll continue to do that. I'd like us to pause. Let's pray for the offering together and ask God's blessing on it before we get into the scriptures. Lord, thank you for this opportunity right now to worship you through the giving of our finances. And I pray as we give to you right now, God, that you would take this money and you'd use it to help change people's lives. And I pray, God, that as people maybe gave earlier in the week, maybe online or maybe in the kiosk in the lobby, or as they give right now, Lord, I pray that you would bless them as they give and bless their gift as well. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we started a brand new series last weekend called Wisdom for Living. We're studying James chapters 3 and 4. If you weren't able to be here last weekend, you might want to go online and watch that or listen to that. And the reason I've called it Wisdom for Living is because in those two chapters, 3 and 4 of the book of James, that's really what James talks about. He talks about different ways that we can live our lives that would be pleasing to the Lord, and he gives us wisdom on how to do that. And we're going to continue that today. And every day, you know, all of us, we encounter all kinds of different people, don't we? Some of the people that we encounter at work, in our neighborhoods, in our families, some of those people are delightful, and others of those people are difficult, aren't they? Some of the people are inspiring, other people are just irritating. And the fact is, many of the problems that you have and I have in our life come because we're not able to get along well with other people. And when you're not getting along well with someone that you have a relationship with, or maybe a couple of people that you have a relationship with, that's when life becomes very difficult, doesn't it? And so it's really important that you and I learn how to get along well with other people. And the good news is that James, he gives us some real practical advice on how to do that. I want you to first look at James 3, verse 18, where James says, "And those who are peacemakers will plant or will sow seeds of peace. And when they sow seeds of peace, they'll reap a harvest of goodness." You know, James is telling us that every day, in every relationship, one of the things that you and I are doing is that we're sowing seeds. And we're either sowing seeds of confidence and love and peace, or we're sowing seeds of anger and jealousy and insecurity. And remember, the Bible says that we will reap whatever it is we sow in life. You know, Paul says in Galatians 6, 7, "Don't be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a person sows, this he will also reap." And so how can I do what James talks about in verse 18? How can I sow seeds of peace? How can I have relationships that are peaceful? Well, James says that it's by being able to relate wisely to other people. So how can we do that? Well, one thing I want you to know is that wisdom is actually a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. Wisdom does not have a lot to do with a person's IQ, but it does have a whole lot to do with a person's relationships and a person's character. That's what James is talking about. Let's back up a few verses and look at verse 13 in James 3. James says, "Who among you is wise? Who among you is understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom." See, James says that we show how wise we are or how unwise we are by our good behavior, he calls it. And what he's talking about is our lifestyle. He's saying wisdom is not so much a matter of our words, but it's a lot more having to do with our deeds. So I want you to do a little self-evaluation as we dive into this. How well do you get along with other people? You ever thought much about that? Are you a person who really sows seeds of peace in your relationships? Or are you someone who more sows seeds of discord in other people? James says that shows how wise you are or not. And when we don't have wisdom in our relationships, James says it's going to cause all kinds of problems for us. In fact, he says in verses 14 to 16, "If you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above. It's not from God. But this kind of wisdom that allows selfish ambition and bitter jealousy in our heart, this kind of wisdom is earthly. It's of this world. It's natural. In fact, James says it's even demonic." And then he says, "Why? For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there's disorder and every evil thing." He's telling us that a lack of wisdom causes chaos in our life. It causes confusion. It can cause even demonic stuff. So I want you to think about your home life right now. I want you to think about your relationships at work. Maybe some of your relationships with your friends. Do you have discord in your home right now? Do you have discord at work? Is your life kind of a mess? Well, James says if that's the case, it's probably because you're lacking wisdom on how to relate well with other people. And so how do we get wisdom to be able to do that? That's what we're going to talk about today. So if you have a Bible with you, or you have an electronic device, a phone, an iPad, or something, would you open it up to James 3? We've looked at the first few verses in chapter 3 earlier. We're going to hone in just on one verse today. Verse 17, James 3, verse 17. And in that verse, James really unpacks what it means to relate wisely with other people. I think we're going to learn a lot on how to do that today. So open up the scriptures, James 3, verse 17. And as you're opening, I'd like us to pause in prayer. And let's open our hearts to God right now and open our minds. And let's ask God and say, God, would you speak to me today out of the Bible? Would you use the scriptures in my life today? Let's pray just for a moment. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to worship you now through the study of your word, the Bible. And as we do this, God, that's our simple prayer, that you would supernaturally use the Bible to speak into every one of our hearts and every one of our minds. God, whatever we need to hear from you, we pray you would speak loudly and clearly. And God, I pray for myself right now as I deliver this message also. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would come and fill me and empower me and give me the gift of teaching so that I would be able to teach the things that you want taught. And God, if there are things that I've not thought about for this message or studied for this message, but there are things that you want me to communicate, that I'm asking you right now, God, would you supernaturally drop those in my mind as we go along? Because we truly do want to hear from you. So come and have your way, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So how do we relate wisely to other people? James gives us six ways. First of all, he says, by acting with integrity. We relate wisely with other people by acting with integrity in our relationships. Verse 17, but the wisdom from above, remember he just talked about wisdom that was not from above, causes jealousy and selfish ambition. Now the wisdom from above, meaning from heaven, is first pure and then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering and without hypocrisy. And so James is telling us that the wisdom that's from above, the wisdom that's from God, he says, first of all, it's pure. Now that word pure in the original language in the New Testament was written in, which is Greek, that word pure, it means uncorrected. It means authentic. In fact, the Apostle John, in his epistle, 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, when he uses that same exact Greek word, but he uses it to refer to the character of Jesus. The character of Jesus, he calls, is authentic. And what he's really talking about, what both of them are really talking about, is integrity. See, if I'm really genuine, if I'm wise in my relationships, that I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to try to deceive you. I'm not going to try to manipulate you. I'm not going to try to cheat you. No, if I'm wise in my relationships, if I'm really a genuine person, then I will be a person of integrity, won't I? And James says when you're a person of integrity, that's just wisdom. You say, why is it wisdom to be a person of integrity? Because all relationships are built on trust, aren't they? They're built on honesty. They're built on respect. And so if you're not honest, then who's going to trust you? You know, Dr. Leonard Keeler, he's the guy who invented the lie detector. He tested over 100,000 people on the lie detector. And at the end, he came to the conclusion that people are just basically dishonest. We're just basically dishonest, aren't we? Well, no wonder we have so many relationship problems, right? But James says, if I want to relate wisely to other people, then I must walk with integrity. Look at the way Solomon, King Solomon said it in Proverbs 10, verse 9, he says, he who walks in integrity walks securely. Why does a person who's walking in integrity walk securely? Because when you're living with integrity, you're not worried about being found out. You're not worried about who you said what to. You know, that's what lying does, doesn't it? You're not worrying about, did I say this to this person and this to this other person? No, like somebody once said, no man has a good enough memory to be an habitual liar. See, that's the truth. When we lie all the time, we start forgetting what we said to who. But if I'm wise in my relationships, then I'm not compromising my integrity. Second way to relate wisely to others, James says, is by working at maintaining harmony. That means I won't always be looking for a fight. I won't be somebody who always has to be right in my relationship. Do you know anybody who always has to be right? Don't look at them right now if they're in the room, but do you know people? We all know people that, you know, they always have to be right. I see some elbows flying across the room right now. Look back at verse 17. James says this, the wisdom from above, the wisdom from God, is first of all pure, but it's also peaceable. And that word peaceable in the Greek, it means loving peace. It means not argumentative. Have you ever met someone who's always arguing? Always disagreeing with people? You know, always looking for a fight? I heard about this guy who was so argumentative that he would only eat food that disagreed with him. I know, kind of a groaner, but I couldn't pass it up. But you know, if you're wise, then you work at trying to maintain peace and harmony in your relationships. But let's be honest, it's really easy to get into arguments, isn't it? It's really easy. Why is that? Do you know what causes arguments? You know, by the way, if you want to be wise in your relationships, you need to know the things that cause arguments. You know why? Because once you know the things that cause arguments, then you can do your best to try to avoid those things. So the first thing that causes arguments is comparing. Comparing. You're just like your mother. Or why can't you be more like your brother? Or when I was your age, you know, my mom, she used to do it this way. Or my first husband did it this way. Comparing. Not a wise thing. Some of you are wise, I can hear, by knowing the right response there. You know, I don't have it in your outline, but Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10:12 that if we compare ourselves with ourselves, we're being very unwise. Comparing causes arguments. Second thing that causes arguments is condemning. Condemning. It's all your fault. You should be ashamed of yourself. You know, you always do this. Or you never do this. By the way, when you use the language you always and you never, the other person is going to quit listening to you right then. You know why? Because they're trying to think about the one time that they did do that, or they didn't do that, you know? So they're not, that's not good language. You always and you never. It's not good language to use. But we do that lots, don't we? We condemn, and we do that in our marriages. You know, somebody once said, you can bury your marriage with a lot of little digs. Very, very true. Third cause of arguments is contradicting. Contradicting. Do you like to be interrupted in the middle of a sentence? No, it's irritating, isn't it? Nobody likes that. You know, William James, he said this, the secret of wisdom is knowing what to overlook. Let me ask you, is there something that you need to overlook in one of your relationships? You know, maybe you're like this couple in this video I want to show you. If you're married, you can really relate to that, right? But sometimes there are things that we just sort of need to overlook. And James says that real wisdom from God, it's loving peace. Some things just aren't worth fighting over. All right, the third way to relate wisely to others that James talks about is by being gentle. By being gentle. The wisdom from above, the wisdom from God is first pure, then it's peaceable. We've talked about those two things. And then it's gentle. Now, that word gentle, it means mindful of the feelings of others. Mindful of the feelings of others. You know, one of the most common mistakes that we make in our relationships is that when someone we're in a relationship with doesn't feel the same way that we feel about a particular issue, if they feel differently than us, then what we start to do is think that their feelings are irrational or their feelings are wrong. Or, you know, it's really stupid that you feel that way. You shouldn't feel that way. And yet James says, if you're wise in your relationships with other people, then you're going to be mindful of other people's feelings. We're not to minimize what somebody else feels. Now, that doesn't mean I have to feel the way that they feel about that particular thing, but at least I can try to understand why they feel that way. See, that's being gentle. And then Solomon says in Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer. Remember, gentle means mindful of the feelings of others. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You know, when someone that you have a relationship with, maybe at work, maybe in your family, when they're having a bad day and they just sort of snap at you, what's usually our first response? To snap back, right? And we usually want to do it even harder than they snapped at us. It's just sort of a natural thing. But wisdom doesn't do that. A wise person doesn't do that. No, a wise person thinks before he or she speaks and then responds with a gentle answer. Why? Because a gentle answer is the thing that turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. We relate wisely to other people by being gentle. Fourth way to relate wisely to others is by being willing to yield to others. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable. Reasonable. That word reasonable in the Greek, it means submissive. It means willing to yield. It means not being defensive. It means willing to listen, willing to learn, not being stubborn. It means being open to reason. Let me ask you, are you that way? Are you willing to listen to someone when they have a different point of view than you have? Are you willing to listen to somebody who has a different theological viewpoint than you might have? Or here's a good one, especially right about now. Are you willing to listen to somebody who has a different political viewpoint than you have? Are you willing to listen to other people who have a different viewpoint about immigration than you have? Are you open to reason? Are you willing to learn? See, if not, then you're not being wise in the way you relate to other people. You know, just think about the closest relationships in your life. Are you willing to learn from people who are close to you? Are you reasonable with those kinds of people? You know, those of you who have children, can your children ever reason with you if they're of that age? You know, can they reason with you? If you're married, can your spouse reason with you? If you have a roommate, can your roommate reason with you? Or your coworkers? Or is your general attitude toward people, if I want your opinion, I'll give it to you? You know, if you're wise, James says you won't be like that. You'll be open to reason. You'll be open to suggestions. You won't be defensive. You know, it's like the pastor who preached his first sermon at this new church that he'd become the pastor at. And after he preached this sermon, one of the members came up to him and said, "Pastor, I just want you to know that sermon really stunk." Well, you know, the pastor wanted to be reasonable, wanted to be willing to learn, wanted to be wise. And so he said to this guy, "Well, what didn't you like about it?" The guy said, "Well, in the first place, you read it. In the second place, you read it poorly. And in the third place, it wasn't worth reading in the first place." The guy walks off. You can imagine the pastor's feeling pretty badly about this. So another guy from the church walks up to him and says, "Oh, don't listen to that guy. He just repeats what he hears everybody else saying." Not a good thing to hear when you're a pastor, by the way. Look at Proverbs 12, verse 15. "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is someone who listens to counsel." See, that's wisdom. Being willing to yield to others, being willing to learn. All right, the fifth thing that James says about relating wisely to other people: we're wise when we don't emphasize other people's mistakes. The wisdom from above, verse 17, is first pure, then it's peaceable, then it's gentle, then it's reasonable, and then it's full of mercy and good fruits. What does that mean? Well, do you jump on people every time they make a mistake? Every time they blow it? You know, do you hold people's blunders over their head so they can never live it down? God says when we do that, that's being dumb. Because wisdom is full of mercy. And you know what mercy is? Sort of a layman's definition. Mercy is giving people what they need, not what they deserve. And that's the way God treats us. Aren't you glad? He gives us what we need, not what we deserve. That's wisdom. That's mercy. You know, it's like these two guys who are at a convention with their spouses, with their wives. And these guys were long-lost friends. They'd not seen each other in quite a while. And so they started talking in the lobby, and they ended up talking all night. Their wives went back to their hotel rooms hours earlier. And these guys knew that they were going to be in big trouble with their wives because they had spent all night in the lobby talking. And so finally they make it back to their room. But the next day, one of the guys sees the other guy and he said, "What did your wife say to you when you came back to your room so late?" The other guy said, "My wife got historical." He says, "You mean hysterical?" He said, "No, she got historical. She told me everything that I ever did wrong in my entire life." See, that's not a wise way to relate. You know, that's not being full of mercy and good fruits, is it? Look at Proverbs 17, verse 9. "He who conceals a transgression," meaning somebody else's transgression, "is someone who seeks love. But he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends." He's saying when somebody blows it, you don't hold it over their head. It means you forget it. You help them up. You encourage them when they blow it. And then when James says that wisdom is full of mercy and good fruits, the good fruits part means it's something that we do. It means we're not only merciful, but we actually do something about it. It means kind actions. It means I don't say to somebody, "Well, I really feel for you that you're going through this, but you know, you brought it all on yourself by the decisions that you've been making." No, you don't do that. You do something to help them out. You pray for them. You minister to them in some way. And why is showing mercy and good fruit so important? James tells us in the chapter earlier, James 2, verse 13, because mercy triumphs over judgment. Aren't you glad that mercy triumphs over judgment? Sixth way to relate wisely to other people that James talks about is by not covering up my own mistakes. My own mistakes. Verse 17, the wisdom from above, from God, the very last thing that James says there, he says, it's without hypocrisy. Now, you know what that word hypocrisy means in the Greek? It means play acting. Play acting. It means putting on a mask in order to play a certain part, in order to play a certain role. And people do that all the time, don't they? People put on a mask all the time. They try to pretend like they're something they're not. And we even do that as followers of Jesus at times, don't we? I want you to know, you don't have to do that here at the Vineyard. You don't have to put on a mask. You don't have to pretend like everything's great in your life if it's not. See, we want to be the kind of church that, you know, what you see is what you get. We want to be that kind of people. And so if things aren't going well in your life, we want you to be honest about that so you can receive ministry, so we can pray for you. In fact, if you're sort of new to this church, you need to know that if you're perfect, this church isn't for you. Because we're not. No, this church is for real people who have real problems, dealing with real sin, real heartache, real pain. If you're having problems with any of those things, then this church is for you. So James says, a wise person is a person who is what you see is what you get. Someone who's genuine. Someone who's not a pretender. And genuine people are not always trying to cover up their weaknesses, are they? I love this verse, Proverbs 28:13. He who conceals his transgressions tries to cover them up. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper. But he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. See, it's unwise for us to pretend like we're perfect. It's unwise for us to pretend like we have it all together, because we don't. None of us do. And the truth is, people appreciate honesty in the end. They really do. So are you a genuine person? Are you someone without hypocrisy? Not putting on a mask? And so how well do you relate to other people? You know, James says, do you act with integrity? Do you try to maintain harmony? Are you gentle in your relationships? Are you reasonable with other people? Are you merciful to them? Are you trying to be a genuine person? Now, we all fall short from time to time in all these areas, don't we? We all continuously need more wisdom on how to relate wisely to other people. So where do we get it? How do we obtain wisdom? And by the way, you do not get wisdom by making a New Year's declaration, you know, a New Year's resolution. Okay, in 2015, I'm just going to start being wise. No, it doesn't happen that way. You know where wisdom comes from? It only comes from God. That's where wisdom comes from. You know, earlier in James chapter 1, verse 5, James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all people generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Let me ask you, do you ever stop and ask God for wisdom throughout your day? You know, sometimes I stop and ask God for wisdom maybe 15 or 20 times in a single day. You know why? Because I'm so unwise. Because I need it so badly. God, give me wisdom about this conversation. As I go into this meeting, God, would you really give me wisdom on the things that you want us to accomplish here? God, as I'm, you know, conversing with my 11-year-old daughter, give me wisdom, you know, on what to say when she brings up this particular thing. God, give me wisdom on how to be the kind of husband that you want me to be. God, give me wisdom about, you know, the direction that you want this area to go in our church or whatever. Do you ever ask God for wisdom? Well, the good news is when we ask God for wisdom, he gives it to us. In fact, he gives it generously and without reproach. I want you to look at this last verse. The Apostle Paul said it this way in Colossians 2, verse 3, talking about wisdom. He says, in him, he's talking about Christ, in Christ lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know what that means? It means wisdom is all wrapped up in a person. Wisdom is all wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. And so if I want to have God's wisdom in my life, then I have to get Jesus in my life. And that means I have to invite him into my life. And that's a one-time event, but it's also a daily activity. Asking Jesus to be number one in my life. Asking Jesus to rule, like we sang earlier, to rule in my life. And I want you to know, the wisest thing that I've ever done in my entire life is when I was a senior in college, I asked Jesus Christ to be the leader of my life, to forgive my sins, and to begin to lead my life from that day forward. That's the wisest thing I've ever done. And if you've never done that, that's something that you could do today. Because wisdom is all wrapped up in a person. Let's pray together. Would you mind bowing your head with me for a moment? Maybe closing your eyes. This is something, if you're new to our church, this is something we always do at the end of our services. We want to give people an opportunity to respond to God from their heart if they want to do that. And so you don't have to close your eyes or anything, but I just know that blocking out distractions oftentimes helps people connect with God. It certainly helps me. And so maybe there's an area that you need to do some spiritual business with God about right now. And if that's the case, just between you and God, you don't have to do anything out loud, just between you and God. Do you speak to him about that? Maybe it has to do with one or more of your relationships. You know, maybe you haven't been wise in one of your relationships, and maybe you just need to say to God, God, I'm sorry, and I really need your help. Would you show me how to relate wisely to this person? Maybe it's a person at work. Maybe it's one of your employees. Now, maybe God is speaking to you about an area that we've covered, maybe about being gentle, mindful of the feelings of others. Maybe you haven't been very mindful. Maybe you haven't been very reasonable. You're feeling like God wants you to really be a much better listener, willing to learn, reasonable. Maybe you've been kind of play acting, trying to pretend like you're somebody you're not. And God is saying, I want you to take off the mask. It's okay. Maybe you're realizing this morning that you've never surrendered your life to Jesus. You realize that wisdom is wrapped up in a person, the person of Jesus. Maybe you've known about Jesus. Maybe you've been around church, in and out of church from time to time, but you've never really connected the dots. Maybe the baptism today helped you to see that, but today all of a sudden the light bulb went on. And it's like, I need to begin to follow Jesus. You might be wondering, well, how would I do that? How would I begin to follow Jesus? Well, you can begin by a simple prayer of surrender. You know, if you've never surrendered your life or you're unsure if you surrender your life to Jesus, you can do it right now. Just in your heart, a simple prayer of surrender. You can just pray something right now, something like this. You can just say, Jesus, I know I've done wrong things in my life. I've thought wrong thoughts, said wrong words, I've done wrong deeds. Jesus, I know that I've sinned. And I realize that I need forgiveness. Jesus, would you come inside of me, into my life right now? And would you forgive me of all my wrong thoughts and wrong words and wrong deeds? Jesus, would you give me a fresh start? I want to begin to follow you. Would you begin to lead my life from this day forward to the best that I understand, the best that I know how? Right now, I want to surrender my whole life to you. You know, maybe you've prayed something like that before in the past, but if the truth were told, you're not really walking very closely in your relationship with Jesus. Maybe you need to resurrender right now. Maybe you know what it is that sort of pushed Jesus off of the throne in your life. If that's the case, you need to repent. Repent means to turn around and go the other direction. Just right now to say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I've allowed work to crowd you off, or I've allowed a relationship to push you off the throne of my life. I've allowed this thing or that thing. Maybe it's just a whole bunch of things. Jesus, would you forgive me? I want to resurrender today. I want to get back to the way that we used to be in our relationship. You know, if you're surrendered to Jesus for the very first time today, or you're resurrendered, I want to say a special prayer for you. And sometimes just by, you know, doing something, some sort of action, it really helps solidify the decision that you're making in your heart. Oftentimes we make decisions for God in our heart. We don't really do anything about it, and we leave, and we kind of forget about it. And it's not really, you know, the forefront. But sometimes when we actually do something about it, it makes a difference. And so I want to pray a special prayer, and I want you to do something by going public about that. And that's especially true if you prayed that prayer of surrender for the very first time. Jesus says, I want you to go public. That's part of what water baptism is. It's going public with your decision to follow Jesus. But I want to say a special prayer for you, and we want to have some other people gather around you and pray for you as well. So if you surrendered to Jesus for the very first time, or there was something that you really resurrendered this morning, I want to pray. So would you stand up right where you are if you did that this morning? Right where you are, just stand up right now. Just come on. It's okay. I saw somebody. Go ahead. Stand up. Stand up. God bless you. God bless you. Just remain standing. Just remain standing. And like some of our ministry team members, if you get around these people and lay hands on them, and I don't know what you surrendered to, but I want to just ask God's blessing on you. If you stood up, just, you know, if you surrendered something, just stand up right where you are, whatever it was, and we want to pray for you. God bless you. Let's get some people around these people. Some of our ministry team members, if you'd get up right now and go to them. And then get some information, too, just to make sure we know what they're surrendering to and we can help them in any way. And it's always a great thing to surrender something to Jesus or your entire life, obviously. That's the wisest thing that you could ever do. I want to pray for you. God, thank you for our friends. The rest of you, would you agree with me in prayer? Thank you for these men and women that are surrendering either their life or something in their life to you, God. We're very grateful. And we pray, Lord, that you would help them as they make this decision. God, that whatever that is, Lord, that you would bring the right people around them to help them to begin to fulfill this commitment, this decision that they've made this morning. Lord, let them experience your smile in their souls right now. So come, Holy Spirit, really seal in their hearts what they've done today. Let your blessing rest upon them, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now, those of you that are around them, if you want to take a moment and just interview them, find out what it was, then pray for them, maybe get some information from them, that'd be great. I'd like to have our ministry team, if you'd come to the front right now, maybe you'd like someone to pray for you today. We always do this at the end of our services. We'll have some ministry team members here at the altar. We'd love to pray for you, so when we dismiss in just a moment, come to the altar. And then if you're a guest, don't forget on the way out to stop by the guest information in the lobby. We'd like to give you some information. Hey, before you go, just a second. I know some of you are going to your stations where you're volunteering. But before you go, I really do want to pray a blessing over all of us. So could I have everybody stand? Next weekend, we're going to continue in the book of James. James talks a little more about arguing. What's the cure to arguing? Not going to want to miss that. Make sure you're here. Let me pray over you and blessing over you. Lord, thank you for all my friends here today. And I pray today, God, that in a very special way, you would really bless them. Bless them in their bodies. Bless them in their souls. Bless them in their spirits. God, bless them. Keep them. Cause your face to shine upon them. Be gracious to them. Lift up your favor to them, God, and give them peace now as they go. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Have a great rest of your day. God bless you. See you soon.